Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the middle of the mitten, Black Diamond Broadcasting Group's mothership right here in mid-Michigan. And I'm back, folks. Boy, it feels like I never left the studio. It's good to be back on the hot mic. And what a weekend it is in the mitten state. It has been just stoking warm out there. I mean, literally, folks, this weather is just incredible. In fact, it reminded me of back in the day in the 80s when we used to go outside and put suntan lotion on. I'm thinking to myself, man, this, and in my age in the 50s, because I'm 51, being in the sun full time is just not that healthy. It's not a good idea. And back in the day, we used to go outside and put baby oil on. And I think back to those days. Is there anything worse you could do for your skin other than baking in baby oil? I don't know. This weather reminded me of that. And, you know, I went to Central Michigan University. We used to lay out and, hey, who's got the baby oil? I don't know. But anyhow, you know, you should always wear protection when you're out in the sun regardless. But we have a huge show for the listeners today. We had an awesome seminar this past week in Mount Pleasant. It was good to see everybody out there. And there's another seminar that will take place a month or two down the road, somewhere to the north. We'll announce that when the time comes. In studio is finally my cousin and AZ, Anthony Zerilli, and G-Money, Grant Newman, hot in studio on the mics. Cuz, welcome to the show.
So excited to be here, finally. Long overdue.
Cuz, I mention you and give you a shout-out all the time. And the fact that you're now in studio, I'm stoked. I'm so excited you're here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. That's much appreciated. And you know how bad we miss you downstate.
I do miss the family.
Kicking some serious butt up here. And very, very glad we were able to come up here and make it for the seminar.
Man,
I can't wait for the next one. Talk about leaving it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, that was huge seminar. It was good to meet some of the people out there from around the state. And how about this weather? Is this crazy?
Unbelievable.
Anyhow, my cuz will be joining me throughout the show, and G Money's in the studio. Hey, G, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, all the way from Macomb County.
It's a pleasure, Todd. We go back a long way. I'm glad to be out here. You look great, as usual.
You look great also. Your cuz's best friend, and I've known you since, you know, you were just a tiny, tiny, teeny, weeny guy, and you're doing great in life, and it's so good to see you. You're a grown man now. It's great to have you in studio. I don't know where Cuz is going, but hopefully he's not going too far. I got a huge show. We have a lot to talk about. We have a story, G, about a doctor who's convicted of a felony for a botched surgery, and the prosecutors claim that his hands were used as a deadly weapon. Can you imagine the precedent that will set? The fact that a surgeon is convicted of a felony because something went wrong, which, okay, there's a lot of lawsuits out there, medical malpractice lawsuits, but this guy was convicted of a felony, and his hands were used as a deadly weapon. We have that story to get to. We're going to be talking about the drug court system, more specifically the Veterans Court. Veterans courts are established here in the state of Michigan, and they're doing a great job, and it's something that was brought to my attention because I honorably am proud to represent all the vets, and we support all the vets, G.
I support them, too. Yep. Thank you for all your help and all your work for our freedoms.
You're referring to the vets.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yep, we support all the men and women in uniform and all those that are overseas. But Veterans Court is an important component of the state court system, and it speaks specifically to the issues that veterans face as they come back from overseas and look to restart their lives with their families and loved ones. So that's a good thing. We're going to be talking about that. We have a huge case that's currently in the Court of Appeals. This case, will decide if probationers can smoke medical marijuana while on probation. This has been a big issue as a defense attorney. I've had thousands of clients throughout the state of Michigan who are placed on probation. They are cardholders, some of them. And the judges, and they have a right to do this, they say while on probation, you cannot smoke your medical marijuana. I have always disagreed with this because I feel that a judge should not be making medical decisions, and that's what I feel it is. But it looks as if it's up at the Court of Appeals, and I'm hopeful that it will turn in favor of the people. That's a huge story, huge case. It's going to affect a lot of probationers around the state. Hey, if you're just tuning in, I am Attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you're listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you've missed any portion of the show, you can catch us, I say it every week, on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. And again, I'm just thrilled and stoked to have my cousin, who's my best friend also, on the show. My familia is here. Cuz, Anthony Zirilli, it's great to have you in studio.
Very, very happy to be here with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So after the show, we're going to go out. I'm just stoked to have my cousin in the studio today. Anthony, I'm so happy you're here, and I hope after the show we can hang out a little bit before you head back downstate.
I can't wait.
Absolutely. So, all right. Let's get to one of the stories I have here before we go to break. This is kind of interesting. This is sort of, if not completely ridiculous. A California woman claims in a lawsuit that the maker of Mike and Ike candies. Guys, you remember Mike and candies?
Yeah.
So this woman apparently is at the movie theater. She bought a box of Mike and Ike candies for $4 at this Los Angeles movie theater. And she was surprised to find, and this is according to her lawyer, that only 54% of the box was filled with candy. I mean, okay. I mean, if that's the case, then every time you get a bag of chips, I mean, think about it. I mean, a bag of chips these days are like balloons, are like helium balloons that you just want to hold up, because that always upsets me, cuz. You know what I'm referring to?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of you agree with me. I mean, how many of you out there will go to a sub shop or a grocery store? More so the sub shops or the vending machines. You know, you put your coin in, you put your money in, and out comes a bag of chips. I'm not going to be, you know, a brand specific, but we know which brands out there do this, and the bag drops, and it's like a bag of ear. I mean, it's almost like, Grant, do you feel me on this?
Yeah, of course, Todd.
Serious. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the bags usually get about a quarter or definitely less than half.
Four chips.
And that's what makes you want to buy another three bags after, just to keep your appetite going.
Yeah. I mean, there's not even enough salt content in that bag of chips that if you have a low sodium medical issue that, you know, to raise your sodium there. There's not enough salt in those bags if it starts snowing to cover the streets. I mean, there are no chips in those bags, and I'm sick and tired of it. And the fact that this woman is suing, I don't know about. I mean, if I go to a movie theater and I get some candy, I don't know. I don't think I'd turn around and sue the manufacturer of the candy because it's only half full.
What happened to the old days of bringing the candy with you, put it in your pocket?
Well, what do you mean old days? I still do that. Look, here's my issue. You know what I do?
Yeah.
I love M&Ms. Do you love M&Ms?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. But I don't want to go to the store and just buy bags of M&Ms. I'll feel guilty. You agree?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you're getting older. You want to put on the weight, right?
Right, yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll go to the store instead and buy one of those bags that have peanuts and pretzels and M&Ms, but I'll end up eating all the M&Ms and nothing else because I don't feel as guilty.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can, and in the end, I'll end up having more M&Ms than if I just went and bought a bag of M&Ms.
Okay, I understand.
No, I mean, come on, you're like family. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree, of course.
Doesn't matter what I say, your family would agree anyway, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, that's Grant Newman. I'm Attorney Todd L. Levitt. My cousin Anthony is in studio, and we have some other guests in studio, and they kind of looked at me and said, no, don't say our names, but that's okay. They're also great family from the north. I'll just say that. I'll just say DNR. the Lady D and her husband, King R. That's all I'll say to them. But hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, we have a lot of stories to get to. We're going to talk about the doctor and the botched surgery who's charged with a felony. We're going to talk about Veterans Court. And we got a lot of the other stuff to get to right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from Black Diamond Group's mothership somewhere in the middle of the mitten. And we have a huge show. I've got my cousin Anthony in studio with G Money. I got Deanna Kibbe Virgin here with her husband Rick. And I just want to welcome Deanna to the show. Deanna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd.
It's so great having you and your husband down here in the studio, and we've been friends for a long time. How's your weekend going?
Wonderful. Weather's great.
Yep, and that seminar this past Friday?
That was great. Awesome.
Yep, big shout out to all the friends and family and the folks in your neck of the woods, way up there to the northeast.
Yes.
What town is that?
Prescott.
And yeah, any shout outs you want to give to anyone in Prescott?
Oh, just everybody.
But isn't there like only 15 people in Prescott? When we went driving through there a couple weeks ago, I mean, it's a beautiful area.
It is. It's a great town.
The people are great.
Right.
Hardworking folks.
Yes, they are.
Absolute. A lot of farms.
Great community, farm community.
A lot of cattle.
Cattle, crops.
I never knew. I've said this before. I'm from the city. I never knew there was a difference between beef, you know, cattle and milk. Cows. The black and white are usually the milking ones, right?
Yes.
I don't want to insult. I have a lot of friends who are farmers, big dairy farmers. They work so hard. I don't mean to, you know, shed light on this, but how would I know that? Growing up in Metro Detroit, we go to these petting zoos, you know, and we pet like, you know, one calf.
Yeah. No, you can pet a lot, and you better know your cows up there.
Why is that?
Because of the farmers. They do take pride of their cattle.
No, I just thought you were going to say one cow is more dangerous than another cow because, I mean, there's a bull, correct?
Right.
And that usually, if you see a field of cows, we're a law show, but if you see a field of cows kind of heading towards the hay, the lead cow is the bull.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow, usually. I learned a lot since I've lived in mid-Michigan. I would never know that. And I never knew there was a difference between field corn and sweet corn. To me, corn always looked like corn.
Oh, no, don't just go out in the field and pick corn because you're not going to eat it.
I just thought if the deer like it, maybe it's good for human consumption. I don't know. But it's great having you in the studio. You were here during the first segment when we talked about that lady out in California suing over a box of candy at a movie theater where the box of candy was 54% full. It was Mike and Ike. I mean, do you have any similar stories with potato chips?
No, but the candy boxes have become less full for whatever reason.
Well, it's margins. What about a bag of chips from a sub shop or from a vending machine?
Yes.
They're like helium balloons. I mean there's so much, there's no product in these anymore. It's all, you know, just bags.
Well, that's because they're watching the weight for you.
No, I don't care about my weight. I want more product. I'm just
Me
saying.
Too. That, I'm a chip
they
eater.
They want you to spend more money.
But see, they're saving me because I could sit and eat a whole bag of chips. So they're doing me a favor.
Okay. Well, we have a story here we discussed in the first segment. We sort of teased the audience. And the Michigan Court of Appeals is going to decide if men and women on probation in the state of Michigan can utilize their medicine for those that are medical marijuana card holders. And this all started in Royal Oak where an attorney and his client, the client was a convicted drunk driver, and he's also a card holder. But most district courts around the state, at least in the beginning, would not allow probationers to use their medicine while on probation. I've had some judges rule in favor of my clients where we brought forth a medical documentation of the individual's claims of needing the card. And I'm not going to name any judges, but they made the right decision. And I guess it's case by case. A lot of the judges over the last couple of years have started going the way of, you know, allowing the card holder to use it. But I said in the first segment to my cousin Anthony, I said, I don't think judges are in a position to make medical decisions. And if a doctor signs an application and says you should have a medical marijuana card, you should have a card.
Absolutely. What's the difference between any other prescription drug?
Well, I agree 100%. And as I said, this case was out of Royal Oak. And it's, as I said, it's currently the judge's discretion whether or not to allow a user to use. And they always base it on the federal court, the federal system, not the court system, but the federal law, the fact that cannabis is still Schedule I drug. And that's what most of the judges use to sort of cloud the fact that they don't want anyone, you know, to participate in utilizing the card. And look, I'm not going to criticize any judge. I don't agree with that decision because, as you said, no one should tell you how to utilize your medicine, whether you're on probation or not. But but this is a Royal Oak case out of Royal Oak. It's going up to the Court of Appeals, and I'm looking forward, and we'll keep the listeners updated once the decision takes place.
It's an important decision, because why should people be penalized for not using their own meds that they want to use?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I agree 100%. Now, we have some information here that we're going to be talking about in the next couple segments in relation to Veterans Court. The state of Michigan has different types of courts. We have drug court. We have sobriety court. We have family dependency treatment court. We have juvenile drug treatment court. And we now have veterans treatment court. And I represent a lot of vets. And I'm really happy to hear that this program exists throughout the state of Michigan. And this court, folks, uses, you know, a hybrid integration of drug courts and mental health court principles to serve military veterans and sometimes active duty personnel who are coming through the court system. The Veterans Court promotes sobriety, recovery, and stability through a coordinated response that involves, folks, collaboration with traditional partners that are also found in drug courts and mental health courts. This is awesome because veterans, you know, face circumstances that I would say most of us can never understand. You can look at a veteran and, you know, you can't see their pain. You cannot see their illness. And it's there. And a lot of veterans come back and they, in order to mask the pain, they get involved with substances and so on. But I'm glad to see that the courts understand that it's not necessarily a substance abuse problem as so much a mental health issue.
Yes, I agree. There's a lot of mental health issues with the veterans.
So I'm really happy about the Veterans Court. And just to name a few counties that now utilize this program, Monroe County, Eaton, Macomb County, where my cousin Anthony's from, right here in studio. Anthony Zerilli, cuz, love having you here in studio with G-Money. We've got Oakland County is utilizing it, West Michigan Regional Veterans Court, Kent County, Saginaw County. So it's spreading across the state. It looks like there's a couple dozen or more the district court. There's a number of circuit courts, but most of these programs are in the district court. For instance, the sobriety and drug courts go to the district court judges. And the great thing about these courts, we have it here in Isabella County. We have a great program that's headed up by Kathleen Fields, and Judge James does a great job with all the men and women who are going through the court process. But, you know, there's like a four-tier process. You go through, you know, the first phase is pretty intensive. And I'm talking about drug and sobriety courts. That this also applies to Veterans Court somewhat, but more so to the drug and sobriety court that I'm familiar with. But you go through phase one, you get to go before the judge. And, you know, the great thing about, for instance, Judge James, who I'm before all the time, you know, he gives people hope and confidence. And as a lot of the other district court judges do that I've seen. And that's a great thing is, you know, you're not to be punished for being in the system. You're to be rewarded for the progress you're making. Because when people go through the criminal justice system, you know, it doesn't feel good. They don't feel good about themselves. You know, they don't feel good that they let their family and loved ones down. And so through the sobriety and drug court and now the Veterans Court, I've seen firsthand how the courts embrace these probationers and make them feel that everything is going to be okay, as opposed to just putting you on probation, giving you community service, and sending you to classes. There's a lot more to it. So I'm happy that veterans can get the help they needed and need, I should say. We have a lot more to get to with guests in studio right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We've got Rick and Deanna Kibbe Virgin in the studio. Anthony Z is in the house. G Money, yours truly, Todd L. Levitt. We have to go to break. Make sure you tip the wait staff and support our sponsors right here, right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting on a hot mic right in studio, Black Diamond Broadcasting Group, right here in the middle of the mitten. And boy, I'm just stoked to be associated with the Black Diamond Group. And I can't thank Mike and Norm enough for all their support and everything they do for all the listeners at all the radio stations throughout Michigan. We're just real happy to be part of the family. So thank you, Mike and Norm. Can't thank you enough from the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. In studio, we have a lot of folks in studio today. My cousin Anthony. We got Deanna and Rick, Kibbe Virgin in studio. G Money, known as Grant Newman. G, welcome. I just love having you in studio. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. I love the setup. Everything looks really nice. Weather's great today, and
amazing
I'm glad
weather.
To be up here with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk a little bit about, not specifically, but you and my cousin are in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
One of the big three.
It's been really busy these past few years ever since we got involved, definitely.
Yeah, how is the state, again, both of you work in the auto industry, as I just said, in Metro Detroit for one of the big three. And I know Cuz is always flying and driving all over the Midwest and country, making sure people are complying and everything is top quality for the product. And how's the state of the auto industry?
Oh, well, it seems like it's doing really good. It's definitely striving. Gas prices have been pretty consistent last couple of years and not too expensive, so they're not really hurting a lot of people's pockets. And I think that's helping sell some cars.
Yeah, and the quality of the product is just out. I mean, we're all from the three of us are from Metro Detroit, and we all grew up with family working, you know, in the unions and the industry. And, you know, it's just I'm always happy when I see that the stocks and vehicles are being sold and the quarterly, you know, reports come in. So, and you're here to say that things are great. I'm happy to hear that. And morale is great throughout the business.
Yeah, for the people that we deal with, it seems that way.
Okay. I wanted to ask Anthony real quick, if I could, a couple things.
Shoot.
And again, we're a law show, but we're talking about the auto industry, which affects not just Metro Detroit, but it affects people throughout the entire state of Michigan, the auto industry does. And what tell the listeners, Anthony, a little bit about what you do.
I work in supplier quality, oversee any supplier issues. Specific plan I don't want to get into, but anytime there's a part issue, I go and problem solve and try to find root cause of the issue and work to irreversible corrective action.
And so if before a part or a certain part of a vehicle or an engine is put into, you know, put together by the men and women, somebody such as yourself has to make sure the suppliers keep the standards to a high level that your company requires. And that's where you come in, correct? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. You got to have a very strong quality systems. Quality is second only to safety.
Okay, absolutely. And I drive, I've always bought American. I have a big old American truck out there from an outstanding company. And you actually have a logo on your coat. And that's the company that I purchased my truck from. And knowing what you and Grant do for the automotive industry and how hard you work, and I know how hard you work every day because I talk to you throughout the day every day, and I'm proud to drive that particular brand because I know that there's, you know, men and women out there and people like you who are making sure that it's quality. So I really appreciate that.
Big three, baby.
Big three, baby. And I'm glad to hear that it's in really good shape. And I'm stoked to have you in studio. Here's a story we were talking about during break. It's a little hard to believe, but a Texas doctor botched a spinal fusion operation and was convicted of a felony. So jurors in a Dallas county deliberated, guys, for about 4 hours before they convicted this doctor. And if when you hear what happened, you'll understand. For a 2012 surgery that left the 74-year-old lady at the time of surgery in pain, unable to walk. And apparently, once another surgeon came in, he found that the spinal fusion and the hardware, the first doctor left it in her soft tissue, and one of her nerve roots was severed. And then another nerve had a screw in it, and there were holes, and everything was gone wrong, and unfortunately, her spine was affected, and she can't walk, and she's in pain. And because of the negligence of the doctor, the prosecutor felt there was the standard was met to charge this doctor with a felony for his hands being used as a deadly weapon. Honestly, I've never heard of that before.
No, me either, but it does sound like a malpractice, some kind of unintentional issue.
But not just a civil case, it's a criminal case. So the doctor, the surgeon's hands, he was so negligent, and this woman is now apparently can't walk, let's just say, I'm not positive of this, but for life. I mean, you heard what I just said. I mean, the doctor, these doctors, our lives are in their hands. And I have a number of friends who are surgeons. They do a great job. Just like in any profession, you're going to get good and bad. But I don't know about the precedent that this sets now that doctors, you know, I'm happy that doctors are on notice that when we go under, that not only can, I'm sorry, doctors, that if they screw up, that they face civil suits, but also criminal actions as well. So that's a bold prosecutor right there.
Yeah,
I know, look, I'm not knocking physicians, but they're held to a very high standard, as they should be. And this doctor, you know, I mean, they make mistakes too, and their mistakes are life-threatening mistakes. So botched surgery, hands were used as a deadly weapon. And that's unbelievable. But hey, if you're just tuning in and you missed any portion of the show and you're one of our 75 listeners, because I think we have 75 listeners now, G, and I think 35 are Amish, a few Mennonites, and the rest are just my friends and family. So I'm looking for new.
We have a lot of friends and family.
Well, you're family. We have a lot of friends and family, don't we?
Absolutely.
Hey, absolutely. Unbelievable. But we have a lot more information to get to right here on the show. And if you missed any portion of the show, you missed a story about the Michigan Court of Appeals that will decide if probationers can smoke medical marijuana while on probation. I'm all for that. It's about darn time. We talked about also a lady suing Mike and Ike. I forgot what Mike and Ike was. I haven't been to the movies in a long time because there was too much box and not enough candy. So she had a lawyer bring a lawsuit. I don't know if I want to be that lawyer bringing that lawsuit, G. Not at all.
No, I wouldn't either.
Here's a story about football. You like football, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you, Cuz, and I, we've sat around and watched Super Bowls, and we've gone to a lot of football games growing up at the Pontiac Silverdome, and we've gone to a few at Ford Field. By the way, huge announcement. Metallica's coming to, was it Ford Field or, no, Comerica Park?
I think Comerica Park outdoors. Yeah.
We're going.
Sounds good.
We're taking the whole family. We're taking everybody.
All 75.
Yeah, all 75. We'll take the Amish, too. But no,
all right.
Metallica's coming with Avenged Sevenfold.
Yep.
And Volbeat.
Yep.
I love Volbeat.
I think the Volbeat guy, he's Italian or something, I think.
Okay.
I read something about him or heard something on the radio.
He's actually Dutch.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's the same as Lars. I mean, you're kind of close.
He has an Italian last name,
Wait,
right?
All three of us sitting here, not including the Dina and Rick, but we're Italian. We don't look Dutch.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
But no, I believe he was Lars in Metallica.
Yeah.
And the head singer are from the same country.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I'm really upset because Metallica performed at the Grammys. This is old news with Lady Gaga. I'm not upset about performing with Lady Gaga because I loved the women in the 80s. I'm a little older than you guys. I loved the women in the 80s who were just hardcore rockers. And Lady Gaga dressed up. She looked smoking hot on stage. But James Mike didn't work.
Yeah.
So the first chorus, you couldn't even hear. And then the lady that introduced the act did not introduce Metallica. She just introduced, and now coming to the stage is Lady Gaga. Like, excuse me? What happened to Metallica?
Right.
I've seen Metallica at least a dozen times. I saw them at the Millennial concert with Kid Rock and Linkin Park at the Pontiac Silverdome. And, you know, as it turned to 2000, as we stood there on the floor of the Silverdome in Pontiac, I was just waiting for the whole ceiling to collapse because everybody thought the whole world was going to come to an end because all the computers were like off a year. You were way too young to remember that.
I guess so.
Am I right?
Metallica's been around a long time for a reason. We'll say that.
Oh, but we're looking forward to. Let's just agree right now on the air, on the spot. Cuz, are we going to Metallica?
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay. We're going to go see Metallica. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back from break, we have an NFL story. To update all the listeners on. A federal judge urges some retired NFL players to do something, and we're going to tease the audience and talk about it when we come back from break right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Now. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're going to finish this fourth segment strong. G-Money, Grant Newman in studio, looking up during break, whether or not, what's the guy's name from Volbeat? What's his name? It sounds Italian.
Cugliano or Cugliano or something like that.
Ah, forget about it.
Right, yeah.
But he doesn't, but where is he from?
Danish. They're from, they're Dutch.
They're Dutch.
We'll say that. Yeah. Like you said, Todd, you were correct.
I'm still upset about Metallica and Lady Gaga because I love Metallica, but here's an NFL story. Here's what I want to say. Did you play football in high school?
Nope.
Let me ask Rick. Rick, did you play football?
No, I didn't.
I played junior high football. I played high school football, and I weighed probably about, 220. I was a linebacker, defensive end. And I got to tell you, every time I got hit, it hurt. And I mean, I'm just playing high school ball, but it hurt. I mean, I went home in pain. And when I watch college football and I watch the NFL, it just blows my mind the beating these men take. Not only did they take a beating in college, but now in the NFL. And so when concussions came to the forefront, but when they started talking about Grant lawsuits and whatnot,
right.
And they started talking about, okay, we're going to set aside $100 million for retired NFL players. I mean, does that sound like enough?
$100
million
so.
For retired football players to tap into a fund who have head injuries.
I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about this whole conversation with the lawsuits with the head injuries, because I know that part of the salaries that they make, that is taken into consideration, and they do get paid a lot of money to do a job that probably none of us have the ability to do. However, they do sign on to that risk.
I have the same opinion, Todd. I seen that today, the commercial for head injuries and the football players that can get these claims. And, you know, that's their job. They get paid to do that.
But here's the issue. It goes back to education in the NFL, you know, not informing players of, well, you know, there's some inherent risk that when you participate in sports, you know it as a young man or woman when you start off, if your daughters are playing soccer, and some daughters wrestle now and play softball, field hockey. And there are inherent risks, but what the plaintiff and the plaintiff's attorneys are arguing is that the NFL didn't provide enough education. And when the players were in the game and they would get injured, the coaches would pressure them to go right back out. And they didn't have the right medical attention they needed on the side of the, on the sideline. So then you have decades and decades of men who have severe head trauma. A federal judge in Pennsylvania this past Wednesday, as you said, has urged NFL retirees to register, get this, for a concussion settlement with an estimated value now of $1 billion.
That's crazy.
But I feel it's appropriate. The NFL is a huge business.
Yes,
it's
for
huge.
That amount
and
of money.
It's profiting on the backs of these men who are sacrificing their bodies, although Grant brings up a good point that they are paid a lot of money, but Grant, not all players are millionaires. I do not know statistically, but a lot of these players, you know, they get these $200,000, which is a lot of money. They get a $200,000, $300,000 contract, or they're on a practice squad.
Yeah, well, I actually I have a little bit of experience with it because I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and he went through the Michigan State program. He was all state in high school, went through the Michigan State program, went on into the NFL, and got injured in his first three seasons, struggled through it, but was able to take his income and retire from the NFL and put it towards another business, and now he's making a living off of that with his family and everything.
What position did he play?
He played center, so
wow.
Under
he's
quarterback.
A big boy.
Big guy, exactly. So he took a lot of abuse, you know, and probably, like you were saying, through going from high school into college, he got hit a lot.
Where'd he go to? Where'd he play college?
He played at Michigan State.
You said Michigan State. That's
yep.
right.
But
I'm paying attention. I'm doing a show here. What happened there?
I appreciate it.
What just happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I just had a moment.
Yeah.
I'm 50 plus. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But he was a center?
Yeah. So anyway, back to what I was saying, though. So in you get into something like that, and you travel that road, and you understand that the injuries can lead up to even death. And I think that is part of why like I said, they get paid as much as they get paid. Like, just to give another example, I mean, for instance, a guy that comes and puts a door on your house, okay, he comes out there, it only takes him an hour and a half to put a door on your house. That door to put on your house cost you $250. That's $125 an hour for him to put the door on the house. But if you were to do it yourself, it would take you 4 days, and it would probably be crooked and not open and closed right.
Because, you know, I can't build anything.
Exactly. So
point. I don't. When I was a kid and I got Legos, I said to my mother, "What the heck are these Legos? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do with them?"
Right. So I guess
what's the door analogy to football?
So my point is that because of the skill that that guy brings to put that door in, he gets compensated that amount of money. But he's also taking on the risk. He's using his own tools, and he's providing a service that you can be satisfied with. So you pay him the money, but in the end, he is the one that is going to take responsibility for anything that happens to him during
his
profession.
Right, but with the football players, look, we've watched a lot of games together.
All the time.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm a little bit older than you.
Okay.
You're my young cousins, younger, I should say. I mean, you're in your 30s. You're not that young.
Right.
But you do have a beard. Looks good. How's mom and dad, by the way?
Great.
I'm going to text them and tell them I love them in a minute.
But, perfect.
Our cousin Anthony is also in studio. Deanna, still in studio. But back in the day, and the equipment wasn't what it is today.
Okay.
People didn't, they weren't educated, I don't think, in regards to what the head injuries were as much. But my point is, when I played high school football, Berkeley Bears, class 83, we were horrible at football, by the way. And here's why. All the great players, all my buddies who are great football players, they went to Catholic Central, Brother Rice, Royal Oak Shrine. We were horrible. I got taken out my senior year by a fullback. I was playing defensive end, and I got taken out by a fullback at Royal Oak Kimball. I was looking for the option, and I didn't see the fullback looking to take me out. I was just watching the quarterback, and I just got side swiped, and boom, I went out, and I was out for like 3 games. There's my football story for you. It's like a Facebook moment. Who cares? Am I right?
Yeah.
I just gave the audience a Facebook moment. I'm always complaining about Facebook because I don't care. And honestly, I really don't care. But I don't think anybody cares about my football story. But we have a good, but we're talking about this $1 billion settlement that NFL retired players, if they show certain proofs, will be able to tap into.
Okay. Well, I understand where that's all coming from, but I also think that the NFL has an obligation to provide research and support for all the players and the young players in the youth leagues that are coming up, so they know when they get to that level what their potential risks are.
The original lawsuit claimed that the NFL covered up evidence about the effects of concussions and neurological damage, and there's a deadline to register, August 7th, possibly of this year, and there's about 22,000 retired players that are being encouraged to get a baseline neurological test to see if they can then tap into the settlement. So,
okay.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you know what? The NFL makes a lot of money. I don't know. I'm all for it. I'm just saying, I'm all for it. Look at how much money they make.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
They own a day of the week, right?
They own a day of the week. No, they own Monday and Thursday and Sunday now.
Yeah, they're trying to do Wednesday, but that might be too much.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Also, here's another thing, more football news, more NFL news here on the Todd Levitt Law Show, or a law show, but we're talking law. The NFL is considering allowing some of its players to participate in cannabis and other medicinal medicine and products that are part of the cannabinoid family. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Deanna's shaking her head. She didn't hear about that either. Yep, I read a story about that. And, you know, a lot of players, they take such a beating to help make the NFL, as we're saying. And look, I love the NFL. By no means are we knocking the NFL here. I mean, I love watching football. I'm all about it. In fact, we're going to have a Field of Dreams moment here when we end the show. I got a football in my office, and we're going to toss a football. And you're going to say, okay.
As long as nobody gets tackled, though. Head injuries.
I'm going to have Deanna throw
my insurance is not that good. The NFL is not paying for
I did play linebacker. But back in those days, we put these – we had these – things that slid over our forearms. They were like pads. So usually as a linebacker, when an offensive lineman was trying to like block me from getting to the quarterback, you know, I would just take my forearm and just pile them over the helmet. I would take them by the shoulder pads and throw them down, or just take my, you know, I'm doing some, I don't know, I just miss playing football.
Right.
Sounds
like it.
Am I showing you like physical emotions right now?
Yeah.
Can you see I want to play?
Yeah.
But I can't. Are you kidding me?
Right.
If I fall down.
Maybe next Sunday.
I'm like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. If I fall down, I'm going to break something.
There you go.
I'm joking. I'm a shredder. I snowboard still at Snow Snake. I'm racing fat bikes all over the place. I can take it.
Sounds good.
I don't know about that. Hey, listen, what a great show. Grant, it was great
having you
and my cousin here, Grant, and cousin Anthony. It was great having Rick and Deanna in studio. Will you come back?
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yep. What a beautiful day. Deanna, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Absolutely. And what you got anything planned for this afternoon?
Nope, just going to enjoy the weather. It's beautiful out.
Beautiful weather. Yeah, and during the first segment, I think it was the first or second segment, you were educating my cousins and I about, cattle. And I have some more questions for you after the show.
Okay.
All right, awesome. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We had a lot of fun here today. We have a lot of great shows coming up in the future. Be sure to catch us on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. And thank you for everyone that attended the seminar. I'll see you same time, same place, next week on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I'm not just a litigator, I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative medicine needs, and innovative insulation systems for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays.